Hey, it's Travis with the Side Stage Show. Join me every Thursday, noon to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time on 95.9 KRFF, heard throughout the Fargo-Moorhead area. You can also tune in online from anywhere at RadioFreeFargo.org for tunes, guests, interviews, even local community happenings. You can also check out the replay of our interviews on Spotify, iHeartMedia, iTunes, Buzzsprout, and more. Check out the Side Stage Show with Travis. Tune in, turn up, and jam out. Our next guest is a political commentator. She's a talk show host, an attorney, and a columnist. You can see her show No Filter with Debbie on Beck Channel every weekday at 4:30 throughout the Fargo-Moorhead area here. We're glad to have her on the phone to chat with us. Welcome to the show here, Debbie Schlussel. Debbie, how are you? Greetings from Fargo.
I am doing great. Thank you. Greetings right back at you.
So when is the last time you've even been to the Fargo-Moorhead community? Because a little fun fact, I watch your show every day and I absolutely love it. But I actually thought you were here in North Dakota, but you're out there in Michigan. So when's the last time you've actually been to Fargo and North Dakota?
Well, I have to be honest. I have never been to Fargo, but there are plans for me to come there next time I'm in North Dakota. I was in North Dakota in January, but I was in the Bismarck-Mandan area.
Right.
I went to the University of Mary. I went to the Beck Studios and basically hung out in Bismarck.
Okay. Well, I got to ask, how did you connect with North Dakota? Obviously, you have a channel, a show on the Beck channel here throughout the Fargo-Moorhead community. We can watch you every day, 4:30. But if you're out there in Michigan, how did you connect with North Dakota and wanting to provide coverage for our great state?
Well, I actually did not connect with them. They connected with me, and the way they found me was they were looking to start a new channel, the Beck channel,
right.
Beck News. And because, as you know, they have three channels, and one of them is sports, and they wanted to have a news channel. They were looking for people. They saw my videos online on YouTube. So it's one of those stories where you're found on YouTube, and I used to be on a lot of the major news networks back in the day a lot. And so I have my reel tapes of a lot of the things, a lot of my appearances on YouTube. And we talked actually for about a year or more, and I did come out to see it, and now we're on. And there are other shows that are on. I think they have two shows that are on the air now, and they have more in the lineup.
Well, that's fantastic. We're glad you're here in our great state providing coverage, because it's very insightful, and I love watching your show. So kudos to you and everything you're doing here. So this election, this is the big thing here. Again, we're not a political show, but obviously it's all over the news. It's consumed our lives. There is so much craziness going on, and we're all so confused because here we are two full days later. We still don't have a president, and even if one is mentioned or is announced, from what I understand, it's not over. There's still going to be a lot of craziness to come after the announcement. So what do you think of all this going on, right? What has been the biggest surprise to you so far?
Well, I think the biggest surprise is there was not this blue wave that they were predicting. In fact, I think I was mentioning to you before we went on the air that President Trump in North Dakota actually picked up 2 points. He got something like 62% of the vote, 62.5% of the vote, and he got almost 65% of the vote, something like that,
right?
In North Dakota. Whatever the exact numbers were, he picked up a couple points, and there were articles that even Trump was going to not do as well against Biden in rural and farm communities in states like North Dakota, and he actually did better.
Wow.
The other thing is the Republicans actually picked up House seats, which they were predicted to lose. And also they were predicted to pick up all these Senate seats. It was doom and gloom. They're going to take over everything. And they actually haven't picked up these Senate seats. They spent, I think it was $130 million in six races that they did not win.
Oof.
So I think that is actually a big surprise to everybody. What's not a surprise to me, though, is that the polls and the pollsters failed yet again.
Uh-huh.
Because they showed us 4 years ago that they were not to be relied upon. And I think, frankly, they should probably go out of business.
Uh-huh.
They won't, because they make millions of dollars doing these things and predicting things, but their predictions, for the most part, were wrong.
Right. Right. You know, something we're hearing, and of course, this process is going to drag on for a little while. We're hearing things about recounts. We're hearing investigations. We're hearing lawsuits. How long do you see this legitimately dragging on? Could we see a Biden presidency and then that taken away with all of these things going on? What do you kind of foresee happening here in the next couple of days, weeks, months?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. If right now we don't know who's going to win the presidential election, and it still could be President Trump. It looks a lot less likely than it did on election night,
right,
because of the what they call the red mirage, which is why I think we shouldn't be hearing election results little by little. I think each state should just announce the total once it's done counting,
right,
like they used to do back in the olden days before technology. I think that if he does win, I think it'll be a tremendous victory, even with things this close.
Uh-huh.
But it looks less likely. It's very hard to win the kinds of lawsuits that he's filing. Very difficult. If Joe Biden is president, I think, thankfully, he did not gain seats in the House. The Democrats lost seats. They still have the majority there, but for now, as far as we know. But I think the Republicans are going to hold on to the Senate, and so he's not going to really be able to do much, and we're just going to have gridlock. Now, I also think that he's not going to be president for that long. I think that he is going to step down, and Kamala Harris is going to be the president. The Democrats want to lay claim that they have the first female president. They know that Republicans like Nikki Haley are looking to run. They don't want the Republicans to get that claim in history. So I think something like that will happen. You know, we know Joe Biden is kind of feeble-minded,
right,
from a lot of the things he said. Yes, he had some good debates, but or one good debate, but he really, you see him live, and it's not so good.
Let me ask you a question here. And again, I'm not swaying either way here. We're not a political show, but something that I think was very obvious this election period was that I think a lot of the Republican side looks at Biden and goes, really? Really? That's who you want as president? But I don't think it's that. I think it was that they were just so against Trump that anything looked better than having Trump back in the presidency. How much truth do you think is behind that?
I think it's very true in terms of how people voted. When you look at the polls, and here I am now quoting polls that failed, but when they did interview people and do surveys of an exit polling of why did you vote for this person,
right,
the enthusiasm gap, we know that was there. People who voted for Trump were mostly motivated. There were a few people who didn't like him personally, but liked his policies and held their nose. But most people were motivated to vote for him.
Right.
The people who voted for Biden, they were not excited about Biden. They were not motivated by Biden. They were motivated by they hate Trump, anybody but Trump.
Uh-huh.
So that was really, I think, why people voted for Biden. And, you know, as we can see, really the country is still split almost evenly. Yes, I know it's something like maybe a difference of 2 million votes right now.
Right.
But, you know, the country is split almost evenly. And I do think that it's interesting that most of the people who voted for Trump were excited by their candidate, and then the other people were just against him. We saw this kind of thing with Jimmy Carter. A lot of people were motivated by their hatred for him. But then I think when Ronald Reagan got in and people saw who he was, they were motivated to vote for him, which is why he got reelected. And I really think that President Trump could have done that. Listen,
right,
I'm not throwing him under the bus. I think he did a lot of great things, and I wish he got reelected, and I'm very bummed out he wasn't.
Right.
But I think that his behavior and statements were why he lost, that and COVID.
Aha. Right. I want to switch topics real quick on you here. Obviously, Governor Burgum reelected here in North Dakota. So in a nutshell, or in your opinion here, what does that mean for the state coming up here now the next 4 years? What is your idea of that?
Well, I think it's going to be the status quo. I have to give Governor Burgum a lot of credit. He's a moderate Republican. I prefer conservative. I don't like that he spent a ton of money defeating Jeff Delzer in a primary for the state house. I don't like when people bully people like that in a Goliath-like manner.
Right.
But I give him credit for not kowtowing and bowing to the pressure from the really not just the rest of the country, but the rest of the world in terms of the media and so on, pressuring him to have mask mandates and lockdowns in North Dakota. He really has resisted that, and I think he gets a lot of credit for doing so.
Gotcha.
I think a lot of times when he tells people to wear masks, though, and then he's pictured not wearing one or social distancing, it doesn't look good for him. To tell preach to people, this is for thee, but not for me.
Right.
But I give him a lot of credit for resisting the pressure. But I think the reason he's doing that is he knows these other people outside the state do not vote for him when he wants to get reelected.
Right.
It's as he just was. It's the people in North Dakota, and they value the freedom and their individualism and personal responsibility, not statist mandate.
Right. You know, I want to get your opinion on something here. It's not something we saw this year here in North Dakota, but a few states did, and that was the legalization of weed over there in Montana, South Dakota, Arizona, New Jersey. In fact, Oregon is decriminalizing the hard drugs, your cocaines, your meths, your heroin. So in a sense, what they want to do instead, from what I understand out there, is if you get arrested for it, it's simply a $100 fine and maybe getting some help for your substance addiction. What does that mean moving forward for states? Is that a good thing, or why have we seen the decriminalization of hard drugs? What do you think moving forward here? What does that mean for the country and the future of the other states?
I think it's terrible. I think, unfortunately, that is the trend.
Right.
And I think what it's going to do is it's going to turn us into Europe. And we don't want to be like Europe, where there's really a vast wasteland of people who don't believe in anything. There is really no set of standards for anything. There's a void. A lot of people there are atheists. Their policies are high taxes, and they have a lot of Islamic immigration problems. We don't want those kinds of things. Europe is socialist. We don't want to be socialist, and I think, unfortunately, we're heading in that direction. These kinds of drugs that they're legalizing in places like, I think it was Oregon, they are legalizing meth, oxy,
right.
Heroin.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that tears apart families, cities, societies. This is a problem all over America, and to legalize it and decriminalize it, I think, is a huge mistake, and it's not going to make it less attractive for people to do. It's going to make more people do it
right.
more easily without any threat
sure.
and of prosecution. It's not good.
In your opinion, heading into the year 2021, have you seen any writings on the wall for things that we might need to kind of keep on the radar heading into the new year? I think we all thought once the election was over, we weren't going to hear any more COVID talk. The talk of politics was going to be done. And it's clear that this is going to continue throughout the holidays leading into the year. Are there writings on the wall right now that you see that we might want to be looking out for coming into the new year here?
Well, I know your show is not a political show, but
yeah.
I think that if Joe Biden is, God forbid, in my opinion, the president,
right.
He told us he is going to have a national mask mandate.
Ooh.
So that is not going to be good. He also said that if the problem with COVID gets bad, and we know that it was just reported that North Dakota has had a record 29 deaths that were just Ooh. Reported this afternoon
right.
from COVID, I think he could have a national lockdown if these kinds of numbers continue. That is not good. We just cannot shut our economy down again
right.
like some of the states are doing. And I also think that since North Dakota relies on industries like fracking, farming, and oil, that it's going to be very, very troubling for North Dakota. The price of gas, I think, is going to go up for everybody if Joe Biden does even a fraction of what he said he's going to do to our industries. Because remember, even farming even though it's not the fracking industry or the oil and gas industry directly, how do you run those tractors? How do you run those machines? Most of them run on gas. You're not going to be plugging in your tractors and your other machines overnight in some kind of electronic grid to drain all of America of its electric power. We're just not equipped for that, and we're not going to do it.
Sure. Sure. Wow, that's interesting. Something to keep an eye on. Last thing I want to do here is, obviously, from all the political talk and discussion that you have on your show, you also are a movie critic. And before we went on air here, you were telling me about a movie that's coming out that doesn't look good for North Dakota. So please tell us about that.
Yeah, this is very, very disturbing to me. And I don't know why. Well, I have an idea why Hollywood seems to hate North Dakota. From the movie Fargo to, I saw this other movie the other day with, I can't even remember who was in it, Kristen Stewart, that showed like North Dakota having houses that are haunted by all kinds of demons and devils, to this latest movie. This stars Kevin Costner and Diane Lane, and it's a period piece that takes place, I think, in the 50s or the 60s, and it is about this couple who lose their son, and their daughter-in-law, who has a grandchild of theirs, she marries somebody from North Dakota. They move back to North Dakota, and they're basically cult figures who are, they're cultish, they're scary, they're violent, and it's just a horrible, horrible movie. These people in North Dakota are like these small town evil people.
Oh, wow.
And Kevin Costner and Diane Lane are very much against people who are religious, and there's a comment about Bible thumpers who are abusive, and just very anti-North Dakota movie, and we know why that is, because North Dakota is a traditional state. People have more traditional values. They don't like that in places like Hollywood. They like to mock people in the middle of America and mock our values and traditions, and it's unfortunate, but they're elitists, and you know, we've known that for a while.
That's amazing. Well, now I want to see it, because I want to see just how badly we're depicted in this movie. Not to support it, but just, you want to see just what people think we're all about up here in North Dakota, and I think they'd be quite surprised if they spent a little time here and got to know us, and just how with the times we are. No, we might not be a New York City or a Los Angeles, but we know what's going on in life. We're keeping it real up here. So, Debbie, I appreciate you, and I can't wait to watch your show later on today at 4:30. Check out No Filter with Debbie on Beck Channel every day, 4:30, throughout the Fargo-Moorhead area and the state of North Dakota. Debbie, thank you so much for making time for us here in Fargo.
Oh, thank you. Anytime, I'd love to come back. And yeah, when I visited North Dakota, I didn't meet anybody who resembled any of these people in any of these movies. People in North Dakota are nice. I like it there.
I tell you what, if you come back and you've got a Thursday afternoon free, I want to personally extend an invite for you to be my guest co-host for the hour. So hopefully you can join me then.
I'd love to. Thank you.